this guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Robert Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
Episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. The Renegades of Puck are in the trenches to start this Monday morning. No better way to start your week than to jump up early before the sun rises, break it down, talk all things Nashville Predators hockey, and do it in style with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Welcome into Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Streaming completely live for free at WNSR.com or the WNSR app. Just search WNSR in the app store and you will find that link. Also completely available to you over the air, and we appreciate every one of you for jumping up first thing on a cold Monday morning out here across Middle Tennessee. 560 AM and 95.9 FM. That's your best options and your destination across Middle Tennessee. Of course, we have 107.9 FM, which is carrying us all the way through Murfreesboro down into Coffee County in Manchester. And we appreciate everyone along the I-24 corridor. We have 103.9 FM out of Drakesboro, Kentucky. That's right. The show currently live in multiple states, as well as being totally available for free to you and always looking to expand. That's why, if you are still a member of the Facebook community, you can also go to Predneck Nation's Facebook page or WNSR's Facebook page and see us streaming live completely for free. I am not on camera because I have simply too much to do and too many operational things happening behind the scenes here to be on camera at all times. So you will see a live video feed, but you will not see my actual face on there during that live video feed. Follow the Renegades of Puck at Renegades of Puck. Very simple right there. And of course, everything Nashville Sports Radio can be found at WNSR.com. In an on-demand world like we know many of you listen either at your desks during the day while you're working to help you pass the time or on your drive home. No matter how you want to access the show, it's always available live here at 5 a.m. Remember, 5 a.m. is not a penalty. We love getting up and getting in the trenches before the sun even comes up. But it's available to you on demand. SoundCloud is how we ship that to you. Always available. WNSR.com. Listen at your leisure. And we sure do appreciate it. Getting a lot of hits, a lot of replays on the first couple of shows of the season. And that is awesome. That's making me feel good, and with the Predators playing good to start the season, I expect our audience is going to continue to grow because you've got a lot to learn about this Nashville Predators team. A lot of new players, a lot of new style, new everything. Matter of fact, the entirety of the NHL is a very new thing this year, so it's always a good time to jump in the trenches. And by the way, Renegades from everywhere are welcome. Tell a friend, pass it on, do all that good stuff. We have access to the information, we have analysis, we have news, we have all that stuff, but the delivery here, it's just simply better. It's not that milk toast, mediocre, just read you what's on a sheet of paper. This is what hockey is all about. This is what passion, the fire, the fury, this is what the Renegades of Puck are all about right here on the radio. Speaking of the Renegades of Puck, before we get started, Mastrodamus, second period. Sean Smith, third period. Brian Baston, one big stat coming up here in just a little bit. And the Ultimate Predator, he's going to get you all hyped up. And again, me, I'm just your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and I am so happy to be here first thing in the morning on a Monday. Starting off, Nashville Predators have now played two games this season, and in the Central Division, they are 2-0 with 4 points. That is tied with the Tampa Bay Lightning for first place in the division. Carolina Hurricanes, of course, the new-look Central Division. The Canes come in after playing two games. They are 1-1 on the season, which means they have 2 points. Nashville Predators are hosting Carolina, 2-0 at home for the Preds, 1-1 on the road for the Carolina Hurricanes. The Canes played Detroit in their first two games of the season. Of course, the Nashville Predators played the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll recap game two here in just a moment. For the Nashville Predators, tomorrow night, Carolina Hurricanes again. With this schedule, nothing but two game sets, back-to-backs all over the place. So, tonight, Carolina. Tomorrow night, Carolina at Bridgestone Arena. Then, the Nashville Predators are off until Friday. First road game of the season coming up at Dallas. They'll be Friday and Sunday. The Stars have not gotten on the ice yet this season. Delayed start because of COVID issues that they have been dealing with. So, for the Dallas Stars, the Nashville Predators will be playing them in their first game, and that will be in Dallas on Friday night. That gives the Preds an opportunity to jump on the Dallas Stars, who haven't seen any action yet, and by that point the Preds will have played four full games. When it comes to the season series between Carolina and Nashville, the first of eight games, of course tomorrow night will be the second of those eight games. Then we go all the way to March 9th and March 11th for the first road trip to Carolina, and then April 15th, April 17th again at Carolina, and the season series will wrap up here at Bridgestone Arena on May 7th and May the 8th. Overall, a very light night in the division. Columbus is at Detroit. Again, because Dallas is not yet back on the ice, it's just been a very light, and it's going to continue to be light, and we're going to continue to track the division schedule because essentially the group play is the most important thing, and the Nashville Predators finishing in the top half of the division, one of the first four slots, means they're a playoff team this year. So we will focus and hyper-focus on the division as it is. For the Nashville Predators on the injury report, Granlund's listed on the injury report, but it's actually a quarantine issue. Now, his travel portion of this is complete. We expect he could be in the lineup as soon as this weekend. Don't have that firm or concrete yet, but we'll continue to track and, of course, report here. And Lucas Spies has been added to the roster, but has also been added to the injured reserve list. When you look at this Carolina Hurricanes team two games into the season, you know that they're going to be one of the top teams in the Central Division, and they have been pushing. Young talent, lots of speed and dynamic offense is what the Carolina Hurricanes bring to each and every night out there at the rink. They started the season on the 14th. It was a 3-0 win at Detroit. Mrazek got the shutout, only had to make 14 saves in that game. We all know the Detroit Red Wings are not going to be one of the better teams in the division, so Carolina feasts on opening night. But two nights later, Canes drop one to Detroit, 4-2. Mrazek got the start again, so started both games of the season, 17-20. Took the loss after Carolina is done with the Nashville Predators. Thursday, they will be in Florida to take on the Panthers. When you take a look at the numbers and the stats for these teams, the Nashville Predators so far on the power play do not have a league ranking because they are 0-4-6. On the penalty kill, they are 4-4. That has them tied with a couple of other teams for first place in the entire NHL. Goals for, the Predators are averaging 4 goals through 2 games. That's good for 5th in the league. Goals against, tied with a couple of other teams at first, 1.50 per game. The Nashville Predators are generating 34 shots on net per game. Right now, that's 8th in the league. Shots against, 37. That's a big number through 2 games for the Nashville Predators. That has them ranked at this point near the bottom of the league at 26th. Of course, the sample size is very small. I am putting the league ranks in here just to get in the practice and the habit of delivering those numbers to you. As we play more games, the sample size increases and the numbers start to be a little bit more impactful. But just trying to show you where the trends are through the first 2 games of the season, because the Nashville Predators are a very different team than they were last season. That is no doubt about it. For the Canes, taking a look at their numbers, 12th best power play in the league at this point, 2 out of 8 on the season. Their penalty kill is 2 out of 4. They are only scoring 2.5 goals a game. That is 18th. That is not the Carolina Hurricanes. Do not be deceived by that number. Even with only a tiny sample size, you would expect the Canes to be scoring more than that. Goals against, 2 in, that makes them 5th in the NHL. They're giving up 37 shots. No, they are generating 37 shots. That's, man, taking a look at that. Nashville Predators are giving up 37. The Canes are generating 37. You've got to anticipate the goaltender for the Nashville Predators going to be busy the next two nights. Only giving up 17.5 shots per game. Nashville Predators are going to have to work very hard to get in there and generate the amount of offense and shots that they need. When you take a look at Carolina and the statistics through just two games, they are paced by Svechnikov, 2 goals, 1 assist, good for 3 points. Then Teravainen has 2 points, both of those coming as assists. And then Niederreiter at 1, and a whole bunch of other players, of course, at 1 point. The Carolina Hurricanes do have a very dynamic offense. The Nashville Predators, maybe you're surprised to see Kunin at the top right there, or Kunin. Apologize for that. I'm still getting used to some of these as well. You see Luke Kunin at the top of the stats for the Nashville Predators after 2 games. 2 goals scored. That's good for 2 points. Phil Forsberg also has 2 goals. Brad Richardson, 2 points, a goal and an assist. And Rocco Grimaldi, also a goal and assist. That's your point leaders for the Nashville Predators. We'll go over the goaltending numbers with Mastrodamas coming up here in just a few minutes. Then we'll get some breakdown, some analysis of some box scores, individual performances, and then Sean C. Smith will come in with some analysis, and Brian Baston's going to back us all up with some significant analytics from the Renegades of Puck Analytics Desk. Taking a look at Game 2 of the Season 4, the Nashville Predators, and of course, again, with the 2-game sets that the NHL is featuring this year in its 56-game schedule, the Nashville Predators are facing off against the Columbus Blue Jackets for the second time in a row at Bridgestone Arena, and the numbers and the names look like this. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson on your first line. Hala, Duchesne, and Kunin on your second line. Cousins, Sissons, and Grimaldi make up your third line. Yarncroke, Richardson, and Olivier getting in this game, getting his first start of the season. Josi and Elisette, Komen, Fabro, Burevetsky, and Benning to mix up your D pairs, the same pairs from Game 1, and same goaltender from Game 1 of the season. UC Saros getting the second start against Columbus. Looked really good in the first game of the season. Why not? If he's going to seize the reins, he's going to go ahead and make that happen with every single opportunity. We drop the puck, and before anybody could even blink or take that first breath, Hall is off to the box. 2 minutes. I actually had to look it up because the broadcast did a really terrible job of telling us exactly what this penalty was for. It ended up being for tripping. Didn't see it. Don't know exactly where it happened, but it did. The Nashville Predators on a penalty kill just 22 seconds into the game. UC Saros has to come up with back-to-back huge saves on Atkinson from the left circle. He has a great release over there and found himself some quiet ice. UC Saros up to the test. UC Saros, big save on Dubois. 5 total saves on this penalty kill. The Jackets just having their way. They were moving the puck with ease throughout the Nashville Predators zone. Nashville Predators penalty kill, though, is able to bend, not break. UC Saros, the main reason for that. 7:58 into the first period. Nick Foligno's got his first goal of the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets, giving the Jackets a 1-0 lead. Michael Delzato, yes, that Michael Delzato, former Nashville Predator, drives the net. He had time, he had space, and let's face it, Michael Delzato has plenty of offensive skill. It's what he does the other end of the ice that's gotten him in question over the years. Delzato drives the net. Backhand is stopped by UC Saros, but the puck just sits there on the goal line. Saros got enough of it to keep it out of the net, but the rebound gets behind him. Foligno is able to get in there, get the stick on it, and finish easily. You would like to see a little bit more support, one, to prevent Delzato from getting in as clean as he did. Then you would like to see Atkinson get picked up, and you'd like to see somebody backing up UC Saros. A lot of stuff went wrong on this play, and the Nashville Predators got exposed on this one in their own zone. Foligno is first. The Jackets got a 1-0 lead, and they're also out shooting Nashville at this point, 10-3, of course, 5 of those coming on the power play, but still, after just 8 minutes, 10-3 shot advantage for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Rocco Grimaldi gets the Nashville Predators on the board at 9:44 with his first of the season, a play that kind of came out of nowhere. The Preds were generating literally no offense to this point, and then Rocco takes the puck down the right side, reminded me of one of those classic Victor Arvidsson rushes where he just comes on down and lets a slap shot go from the top of the circle, and Rocco Grimaldi is able to convert, tying the game up. To be honest with you, the Nashville Predators being dramatically outplayed the first 10 minutes of this game probably don't deserve to be on even ice right now, but they are 1-1. That's great for Rocco Grimaldi. At 10:59, Nash hits the crossbar. Nashville Predators catch a break there. 11:41, diving save by Ellis after Saros falls down behind the net. It was a bit of a mishandle. He was a little late getting back, but no worries because Ryan Ellis makes the diving play at the post, sacrificing the body. And well, let's face it, Ryan Ellis has done this numerous times over the past, and you expect he'll probably do it numerous times on into the future. He's outstanding and a great job supporting his netminder in this scenario. 13-minute mark of the first period. UC Saros comes up with a save on Boom Jenner, plus a lot of jam right in front of him, holding his ground well. Preds at this point still They're tied, but they're looking lethargic. Columbus is winning the battles all over the ice. It's 200 feet of control for Columbus. At 18:07, the Preds catch a break. Texier's going off the box. 2 minutes for slashing. Johansson would get a good chance in close just before the end of the period. Maybe a better chance than people had realized, but nice job by Ryan Johansson. We hit the end of the first period, and the Preds were a little better over the final few minutes of the period. As a matter of fact, the shots on goal started to creep up towards a little bit more reasonable by the end of the period. Columbus 15, Nashville 11, 1-1 hockey game going into the second period. 33 seconds in, UC Saros comes up with a save on Texier. 2:55, UC Saros comes up with a big save on Bjorkstrand, and then we go all the way to 8:21. The team's kind of going back and forth between the tops of the circles, starting to get after each other a little bit more, and I'm liking that. At 8:21, Merzlikins makes a save on Duchesne on the 2-on-1. Good to say Matt Duchesne's name. He was really slow in this game. He just did not look like he quite had his wheels going in the early parts of this game. That is absolutely for sure. But Duchesne gets a scoring chance right here on the 2-on-1, and the Preds are off to a better effort midway through the second period. UC Saros, a big save at the 9:02 mark. Foligno's deflection, his tracking simply perfect on this, and his reaction incredible. Can't wait to get Mastrodamus' breakdown on that save. 10:47 of the second period. Foligno, 2 minutes for high sticking. Merzlikins comes up with a huge save on Duchesne, but at 11:27, Colton Sissons is called for a faceoff violation. Honestly, I hate the call, but I'm just going to move on from it. 4-on-4 for 1:20. Columbus Blue Jackets then get a power play for 40 seconds. The Predators kill that off relatively easily. We hit the 15-12 mark of the second period. Ellis' shot goes into a scrum with Cunning crashing hard. The puck finally stopped on the goal line. Good jam by the Nashville Predators. 17-13, UC Saros comes up with a huge save. Ryan Ellis has to clear the puck off of the goal line. UC Saros got just enough of it to prevent it from going in the net. This one, wow, you talk about tap dancing on a high wire right here, but Ryan Ellis goes ahead and takes care of that thing and gets it out of the danger area, helping the Nashville Predators netminder out yet again. 19:21 of the second period, UC Saros comes up with a save on Atkinson, plus some more rebound jam. He gets some help from his defenseman, Matthias Ekholm, in this scenario. We hit the end of the second period, still tied at one apiece. Columbus now out shooting Nashville 28-22. We hit the 1:43 mark of the third period, and Philip Forsberg, in the slow motion replay of the goal that he scored the other night, forces the turnover. This is the impressive part. The other night, it was retrieving a loose puck after a 50-50 faceoff. This time, it is forcing the turnover on the offensive player inside his own blue line, and then carrying the puck as slow as it might have been because he was completely out of gas. He still realized he was the best option, had the best scoring chance, went ahead and put that classic wrist shot right in, and then went to the bench to catch a breath. Phil Forsberg, second goal of the season. Nashville, a 2-1 lead in this game on home ice. 4:21 into the third period. UC Saros comes up with a huge save at 4:39. Saros, another save on Dubois off the rush with the blocker. We are seeing some offense out of Columbus. And 5:47, Texier's got his first goal of the season, tying it up at 2 apiece. It was the sharpest of angle deflections. Catches the tiniest little opening over UC Saros' shoulder. No matter, still counts. Tie game for the Nashville Predators and Columbus Blue Jackets at 2 apiece. 7:49 to third. Merzlikins makes a save on Johansson, spinning back. Another good scoring chance for Ryan Johansson. 7:57, UC Saros makes a save on Grigorenko at close range. 10:31, he comes up with another save before Richardson for the Nashville Predators puts in his first goal of the season, giving the Nashville Predators a 3-2 lead at the 11-minute mark of the third period. Rebound put back off of Ekholm's shot. It's an excellent shift for Yarncroke. Kelly Yarncroke didn't get nearly as much talk or conversation on this one, but Kelly Yarncroke wins a one-on-one battle along the half wall against Seth Jones, who's one of the premier defensemen in the league. He gets that shift going. He gets that play going, and ultimately, it ends up in the back of the net. Kelly Yarncroke does not get a point on the score sheet, but damn it, he gets a point from the Renegades of Puck for that style of no half step and effort in there. Preds, 3. Columbus, 2. 13:25 into the third period. UC Saros, huge save on Texier, plus a rebound, plus a follow-up just seconds later. Saros standing tall, and then the Nashville Predators go down the ice and respond again. 14:28. Cunning, his second of the season. Cousins pass off the rush, finish just under the crossbar, and the Nashville Predators suddenly open up a 4-2 lead. And before I could even finish writing it down, Sissons gets his first goal of the season at 15:22. He knocks down the pass from Arvidsson, stick handles it to the finish. 5-2, Nashville Predators, 16:45. Bjorkstrand goes to the box, 2 minutes for high sticking, and this ends Columbus any chance they have to come back. They still made it interesting for UC Soros in the last minute. Soros had to come up with a couple of big stops to keep the score at 5-2, which is your final for the Nashville Predators. 44 shots on goal for Columbus by the end of this thing, 33 for the Nashville Predators. UC Soros, a huge performance in this game. Mastrodamus will be here to talk about UC Soros' performance and, of course, to break down the box scores and the individual performances. Then Sean Smith is coming up with some analysis and breakdown. Ryan Bastin with one big stat. And the ultimate Predator is here right now. Not like you need any more energy to get you fired up, but fill your tank Monday morning.
2-0. Not a bad start. And I'm really liking the way this team is gelling on the ice. I'm seeing things, I'm seeing glimmers that I haven't seen in a long time. Quite frankly, I'm seeing hope. I'm seeing resiliency. I'm seeing grit. I'm seeing jam. I'm seeing the power play. Although we haven't scored yet, I see the differences that the coaches are making. I see the lines changing when they need to be changed. I see adjustments being made when they need to be adjusted. And this team is showing signs of a life that we haven't had in a while. And I am watching and loving every second of it, as I'm sure each and every one of my Predaholics are. But now is not the time to rest on our laurels. Now is not the time to pat ourselves on the back and say job well done. We have a tough test coming in the Carolina Hurricanes. They are a tough team and they have had our number in years past. So now we show we have to rise to the challenge. And even though we don't have a full capacity crowd, we must stand as one and once again, in a home series, defend the stone. Which means we may not be able to chant as one, but we can throw our doors open, throw our windows open, and scream to the heavens as we show the world what Nashville Predator hockey is and what it has become once again. Carolina, you think you can come in here and throw us around? Well, let me tell you something. The Predaholics and the Ultimate Predator, we're hungry, and we demand that this team feed me more.
I'm Eustace Soros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, Redneck Nation Radio. He said it best right here, Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.com, streaming live, the WNSR app completely for free to you. At Renegades of Puck is how you follow the show. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Is there any better way to start a week, a Monday, perfect, cold weather, a little bit of snow in the air, hockey on the ice tonight at Bridgestone Arena? I am pumped. This has helped my hockey soul so much these last few days. I know it's helped each and every one of you Renegades out there, too. So the fire, the fury, the passion, it's all back right here in the trenches. Sean C. Smith coming up in just a few minutes to break it down with some analysis. Brian Bassett with one big stat. But before that, he's a man so far ahead in the future. He knew I was going to call before I even picked up the phone. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's always up for the interaction and the conversation on Twitter, so hit him up at your leisure. I will talk to him in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio all season long, though, so I know he's here right now. He is Greg Michopoulos, or as we love to call him, Mastrodamus. Good morning, sir.
Charlie, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, and I love to throw this at you right away to get started, because as a starting goaltender for Predneck Nation, you absolutely break it down and love talking about the numbers and the goaltenders. UC Soros, now 2-0 on the season. Mosh, 42 out of 44 in Game 2 for the season, 71 out of 74. I don't care that it's only a two-game sample size. I remember the last sample size, which was that series against Arizona, and the numbers were crap. 9.59 save percentage, 1.5 goals against average. His tracking, his reactions, the things we come to expect out of UC Soros as he tries to become a franchise goaltender, every bit of it on display these first two games, Mosh.
Yeah, he's looked fantastic. And, you know, we've gone at length about talking how slow he comes out of the blocks with the seasons, and even with the pause in last season and who should be the goaltender coming back. I already said it should have been Pekka Rinne, because historically he's better early on in the season. And Soros so far anyway, has been absolutely phenomenal in net. I mean, the game he had the other night against Columbus, 42 saves, not exactly the winning strategy to allow 44 shots on goal, and had a couple posts and then have Ryan Ellis bail you out once, Ekholm bail you out once or twice. It's like, all right, we'll take the wins, but there's certainly some things that Coach John Hines can certainly clean up in their own zone. A lot of turnovers still. Again, early on, there's no preseason games to fix that. So, Lucius Harris, though, bailing out his team when they do turn it over in their own zone.
Mosh Forsberg, again, we talked about starting slow. We talked about consistency. These things are kind of trending together right here. Phil Forsberg, we've always said, if he can just put it together from game one until, well, currently game 56, but usually game 82, that he would be one of the most undeniably powerful power forwards in the NHL and unstoppable. Through two games played, two goals. It was a replay except in slow motion because, listen, Mosh, it's hard to explain to people, but if you've played the game, if you've skated, when you're at the end of the shift and the legs are done, it is near impossible to get down the ice and continue to play and score a goal. Phil Forsberg not only showed some incredible conditioning and just true, true determination to make that happen, but incredible. He takes the puck away from a player, takes it down the ice, and he scores again. Two games, two goals. Phil Forsberg is off to a great start.
That kind of play right there, too. I mean, Columbus had the Preds pinned in their own zone. It was a cross-ice pass to Werenski, and it looked like Werenski may have had an opportunity to shoot that puck from about 30 feet out. He was in pretty tight initially, and then Forsberg read the play, though, got out to him. Werenski had to reverse his field, try to make a move, and that's when Forsberg anticipates the move, pokes it away, and you could tell his legs were pretty heavy coming out of his own zone to get to that puck. It should have probably been, normally it should have been a 2-on-1, even a 3-on-1, with Johansson coming in down the middle as well. But he had enough in his system, and then just an absolute snipe. When that puck goes just off the inside of the far post, and you had to think, similar situation in game one, and Merzlikins probably was thinking, all right, he's going to go blocker side, he's going to go near side, that's where he went. You know, the previous game, now he goes far side, glove high, and beats him to get that third period underway again. Third period goals, huge for the Preds. They don't get too many of those the way they've been going, and they seem like they're hanging on through two periods, and then third period they turn it on. So, but Philip Forsberg just seems every once in a while in a game, about two to three shifts a game, he's just on another level of anybody else in the NHL. And whether he cashes in on them, it's a different story. So that's where he gets in those cold streaks where he doesn't cash in. But so far, two games, two goals. You can't ask for more than that.
Also, since Brian Bastin dropped that number two on us, it's all I've been seeing since our last show, Mosh. So I also see Forsberg having two shots on goal and two more hits. Impressive overall box score from Phil Forsberg through two games, 18-10 of time on ice. And I just need to say it because he didn't get enough appreciation, so we didn't get to say his name enough because he just didn't do enough in the game. But Elvis Merzlikins, Mostradamus. Elvis Merzlikins. I hope we get to talk about him a little bit more in the future. Hey, Rocco Grimaldi, we all say that, you know, coming up, he's like a next Victor Arvidsson. He's a little guy out there hustling, giving you all he's got. He's playing his ass off. And what does he do, Mosh? He takes the puck into the zone and takes a slapper from the top of the right circle, and it's a classic Victor Arvidsson goal. But now it's Rocco Grimaldi. He gets his first of the season, and when the Nashville Predators were completely flat in that first period, Rocco at least gave them something to build a pillar around.
Yeah, certainly a pick-me-up because they were absolutely on their heels the entire game up to that point. And Grimaldi, look, and Merzlikins, this is one of those situations where a goaltender doesn't see a whole lot of action for 10 minutes of game time and just kind of standing back there not doing anything. And all of a sudden, here's Grimaldi, slap shot from that far out. It's not even at the right, a great angle either. It's not like he was on his off wing and taking a slap shot like that. He's coming down hard, yes, but that's a shot very leaky. He did get a piece of it, of course, but it did trickle in. One definitely Merzlikins would like to have back, and that really, I'm not going to say turned the whole tide, but it definitely woke the Preds up to get off their asses and start playing hockey, because Columbus was all over them early on to try to make up for game one on Thursday.
Mosh, the Preds were looking for some new energy. They were looking for some new jam out there on the ice this season. That's why they made a whole lot of changes in the off season. We are seeing those changes paying off very quickly. Just talk to you about the new player contributions. I think that Borowiecki and Benning on the third pair, plus their PK work, has been very good, very strong, as advertised. Cousins, Richardson bringing the jam. Richardson, I mean, he picked up a goal, he's got an assist. And, of course, Cunning, two goals so far. That's tied for Forsberg with the team lead. Just talk to you about about the new players, the contributions they're making, and what you're seeing from them.
Yeah, Benning Borvetsky, I mean, they played really well as a third pairing. They get caught sometimes in their own zone, but again, third pairing defensemen, you know, sometimes you're going to get out there against the top lines and get stuck in your own zone, but they bring a physical presence. Benning, we saw, especially in game one, blocking shots and sacrificing his body. Borvetsky, I mean, they call him Borokop. There's a reason for that. That guy just hits everything in sight. So I love seeing that. Would like to see that. I mean, he's taking shots on goal as well. So even in the offensive zone, he likes to fire that puck on net. But Cunning has been fantastic. He's got a couple goals. And where's he getting those goals from? You know, he had 2-on-1 on Thursday, sniping on 7-hole. And then you have the goal again, going hard to the net, getting that second goal of the season there. Richardson, again, staying in front of the net during a shot, gets knocked down, goes to the net, rebound, goal. Gee, rebound goals, that's something we've been asking the Preds to do for a couple seasons now. They've got some guys now on this roster that aren't afraid to go to those hard areas. Guys like that, you talk about the new guys. Kelly, I've got to point out Kelly Yarncroke here because talk about basically putting a stamp on this game, winning a puck battle, like you mentioned earlier, against Seth Jones, keeping possession of the puck and generating. That was basically the Preds were going on a line change. It was 1-on-4. Yarncroke gets to the puck, possesses it, make sure it gets dumped down further into the zone. 10 seconds later, it's a goal for the Preds. So I got to point that out for him. But I'd like to see a little bit more out of Holla. Holla been okay. Hasn't been great. Again, small sample size, only 2 games in. But so far, so good with the new additions to this team.
I like what I'm seeing out there. I didn't know exactly what we were going to get, but once they're all out there, they're working together, and Coach Hines is coaching them up and getting them into the new Pred system. So far, I like what I've seen. I'd like to continue tracking the development. Borokop, by the way, 3 hits in the game. Olivier led the team, actually, in hits with 6, but he's not going to get an opportunity to follow that up tonight in Carolina as he's been moved back to the taxi squad. Chauncey Smith will have more information on that in a couple of minutes. Mastrodamus, the Carolina Hurricanes, we know they are fast. They are offensively dynamic. They have a lot of high skill and superstar players, and they've also been a very good hockey team the last couple of seasons overall. Mosh, tonight's the first of 2 back-to-back Nashville Predators Carolina Hurricanes, the brand new Central Division, the Battle of I-40, a rivalry I've wanted to get started for many, many years, and I'd love to see it culminate one day in an outdoor game at Neyland Stadium between these two to culminate the Battle of I-40. Mosh, talking about your goaltending deployment for tonight for the Nashville Predators. Break down the goaltending deployment you think that the Carolina Hurricanes will give us and also preview the game in general. Go, Mosh, go.
All right. Well, Carolina, again, a very good young team. They've, you know, went to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple seasons ago. Were ousted a little bit earlier last season. But they have somebody on their team that absolutely has the Predators number, and that is Peter Mrazek. Peter Mrazek, doesn't matter what team he's played for, he played on the lowly Detroit Red Wings at one point and shut out the Preds with over 40 saves. He's 9-1 in his career against the Predators. So totally expect him to start game one. He's played the first couple games for them so far. So watch for that situation where the Preds, you know, watching this game is like, man, they can't put anything past this guy. So I get the feeling as much offense as we've seen the first couple games, look for the Preds to struggle to score against Peter Mrazek. I do think Pekarinen starts. He's had a better career against Carolina. Saros, obviously only been in the league a few years, but has 4 starts against an Eastern, you know, well, old Eastern Conference team, that is. 0-3-1 in his career. Hasn't played that great. Rene, definitely better numbers. I would expect Rene to start game one, get him going on this season, and put Saros in for game two. But Carolina, probably a little bit of your colleague, Greg Pogue, likes to say the red booty factor. They just lost to Detroit, so they're not going to be happy about losing that second game against Detroit. So you expect Carolina to come out strong, and perhaps the Preds do lose this first one on home ice.
The old RBF, as Greg Pogue likes to say. And by the way, Mosh, since you plugged it, I'll go ahead and mention it. You can not only hear Mastrodamus from time to time on the Greg Pogue show, but also the Johnny Ballpark Frank show here on Nashville Sports Radio. But I am actually producer and co-host of the Greg Pogue and John Burton show here on Nashville Sports Radio every morning from 9 to 11. So if you're looking for additional Nashville Predators coverage and talk, and we don't happen to have a Predneck Nation radio or a Predneck takeover that morning, I will always be featured on that show for at least one full segment talking all things Preds hockey. So I'd also appreciate you jumping in and joining for that. We don't always clip those and post those, but I am always there, and you can always call into that show. We don't have a lot of time and room for call-ins on this show, but I just figured I'd throw that invitation out there. Some of you, as you're listening, if it's between 9 and 11 in the morning, feel free, dial us up. We're always looking to talk Nashville Predators hockey here on WNSR. Mastrodamus, outstanding job, and just 2 seconds, I do think Pekarinen gets the start tonight, and it's simple. You got the back-to-back, but then you don't play again until Friday. If UC Saros starts tonight, then he's going to be off for the rest of the week. You want to keep him fresh. You want to keep him sharp. That means you go ahead with Rene tonight. You go with Saros tomorrow. I think your analysis on that is absolutely outstanding, as well as everything else. At GreekGoalie35 on Twitter is how you find Mastrodamus. Always up for the interaction and always talking all things Nashville Predators hockey. Masha, look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning. We'll recap one. We'll preview two against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Charlie, 4 straight weekday shows. I love it. Let's make it a regular thing.
I absolutely love it. One day they're going to just let us take over the entire radio station. As a matter of fact, I should just take over the radio station whenever I want. I don't even know what I'm talking about one day. If I feel like doing it, I'll do it. We'll be here every day. If I feel like being here, if there's something to talk about, we'll be here. The Renegades of Puck simply have the access code. We've got the alarm code. We've got a key to the building. And, oh, I know how to turn the mics on and off, and I also know how to shut off the syndication. Oh, yes. Yes, people. The Renegades of Puck are in the trenches right here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. It is Predneck Nation Radio, and coming up next from ontheforecheck.com, he is a man whose feet are firmly in the fire. He is Sean C. Smith, and he's up next right here, Predneck Nation Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Threatnik Nation. We're here on Nashville Sports Radio, media partners with us. 10 seasons, 9+ years in the trenches here at Nashville Sports Radio, and nobody does hockey coverage better. They give us the freedom to jump in the trenches anytime we need to. We were joking about it before the break, but I'm not kidding with you. I'll take over this radio station anytime I want. I have full permission, and if I don't have full permission, I'll just break the rules like I always do. You think I care about any of that stuff? Crazy Charlie Sonnier here, facilitating the offense from all angles. You can find us on Twitter at Renegades of Puck. Of course, it is Predneck Nation Radio live at 5 on game days and whenever we feel like it. And new Renegade of Puck, quickly getting lots of love from the audience. And I gotta tell you, if there's a yeah, you know, out there, it is within earshot of this man, Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck. He joins us in the third period of Predneck Nation Radio all season long. Got a lot of things to talk to him about, so let's get right to it. Sean, good morning. Great to start the week with you.
Great to hear from you, Charlie. I'm ready to go this morning.
Fantastic. Let's just jump right into it then and not screw around with this one. D-zone play. It is a work in progress, but Sean, I am seeing some positive signs in game one. They improved as the game went along, and the third period were absolutely a force in shutting it down. I feel that game two wasn't quite as strong, but they did again get better as the game went along. Talk to me about the D-zone play and how it's been a work in progress so far.
Well, work in progress is definitely the right way to describe it. You know, I know what I saw in practice. I know what I saw in the scrimmages, and what Coach Hines wants him to do is he wants him to back check as much as they are forechecking. And they really worked on that drill where they were pinning an attacker in the corner, stripping the puck, and then moving that out to have a breakout. And I haven't really seen it get implemented like I think Hines wants it. In practice, though, it was very intentional teaching from Hines. It seemed to go against like the nature of the team. The team wants to, like you said, get in front of the net and stop shots. You saw Ellis do it. You saw Ekholm do it. There's always a rush to the front of the net. But I think Hines has this philosophical shift in mind that he wants them to make, where they don't have to worry as much about stopping shots if they can prevent the shots from happening in the first place. So it's definitely a philosophical shift, but once they make it, I would look for a big drop in shots by their opponent.
And I got to use the same phrase again for a work in progress. And this time, though, it's part of the special teams. Haven't seen a lot out of the power play so far. Haven't seen too many power play opportunities in general. Some of them have come late in the game, and the Preds have mainly been concerned with bleeding clock than trying to really generate the offense right there. But, Sean, talk to me about, most importantly here, the second power play unit and what needs to be done and how many switches we can expect to see coming up. Because it looks like, again, I hate to use the phrase multiple times, but a work in progress.
Well, you know, during training camp, it looked like Ellie Tolvanen was very, very much the centerpiece of that second power play unit, playing the role of the sniper from the top of the circles. But he's on the taxi squad. Now, I'll talk more about the taxi squad later, but I have to assume that unless Tolvanen shows up on the roster, they're planning on letting Mikael Granlund play that role on the second power play unit. But until that happens, I think this is kind of what the power play unit, at least the second power play unit, is going to look like. So either they're going to find some chemistry, or you'll see the first power play unit on the ice as much as possible. You're looking at Ellis, Sissons, Cousins, Holla, and Ekholm, and that's not exactly the offensive powerhouse you want to have out there when you have the opportunity.
You said taxi squad, and for some people, they may have heard that phrase suddenly and been like, what? Where am I? What is the taxi squad? So just a quick reminder, with all of the new changes in the NHL, not just division realignment, not just games, where it sits in the calendar, all of these things, but that is also something new. The taxi squad is a group of 4 to 6 players that can be utilized, called up at any time. And for the Nashville Predators, Sean, they are so far utilizing the taxi squad. It seems like we're getting a bit of a rotation. We saw Smith in game one. We saw Olivier in game two. Will we see Trennan? Because that's who I've wanted to see for the first two games. And what do you think about the taxi squad and so far how the Preds are utilizing it? Talk to me about it.
Well, you said it yourself. You've seen Cole Smith and you've seen Matthew Olivier. You know, if you want to ask the question, who's next, you have to actually look at who's on that squad. And the Predators are only carrying 4 guys right now, one of which is Connor Ingram. And of course, that's Masha's territory, and I don't want to get into that. But the third forward you see is Ellie Tolvanen. Now, all 4 of those guys are waiver exempt. That means they can travel back and forth between the main roster and the taxi squad as much as they want without the team having to wait on waivers or to even take a chance on someone claiming a really good player off of waivers. You mentioned Trennan. Trennan sitting on the main roster, they keep healthy scratching him, and that probably raises a lot of eyebrows. But Trennan is not waiver exempt. So if they wanted to put him on the taxi squad, he would have to clear waivers. And I feel like that's a chance. Even if there's some kind of gentleman's agreement now about not poaching waiver taxi squad players, that's not a risk I think anyone's really willing to take, is putting someone like that through that process. So there's an open spot on the roster waiting for Granlund, and I'd expect to see one of those taxi squad guys kind of slot in every night and get called up really, you know, really quickly. They call them up right before the game starts or a few hours before the game starts. But taxi squad practices with the team. They travel with the team, so it's not like they have to rush them in from another AHL city or something like that to get them going. So I think they're really just rotating those guys through to see if they can find some chemistry, to see who's going to be able to work when they need them. And you probably don't want Tolvanen on that fourth line. So expect to see him if you see an injury somewhere in the top 2 lines, because I think that's when they're going to be pulling him in.
The taxi squad is just kind of a hybrid of what we typically refer to as the Black Aces at the end of the season and into playoff time. And so far, the Nashville Predators are feeling it out, utilizing it, and doing a rotation. Of course, we'll continue tracking that along. Sean, a couple other topics before I let you get out of here for this Monday morning. Cousins and Holla, I like what I've seen out of Cousins so far. Holla, haven't seen a whole lot yet, just the smallest of sample size. But where are they going to fit in for success? How do you anticipate their deployment continuing on forward? And just talk to me in general about these two players.
So it's interesting to me that one of the things you pointed out was, and I know you're going to say, hey, you're talking about Cousins and Holla, but you mentioned Matt Duchene getting off to a slow start in the second game. What Hines did after the first period was he moved Holla down to the third line and moved Cousins up to the second line. And you said it seemed like Duchene got it going a little bit later, and I think that line change had a lot to do with it. I think Cousins was able to come in, and with his little bit more physical play, was to give Duchene a little bit more room to do the things he needed to do on the ice. At the same time, sending Holla down to the third line gave even more speed to a line that already includes Rocco Grimaldi. So I was afraid when I saw that, oh no, we're starting to get back into the line blender really early. And, you know, that can be frustrating when you're making changes for the sake of making changes. But one of the beautiful things about playing a team 2 times in a row is that you can make adjustments in the next game where you see fit. And clearly Hines saw something that I think you noticed, I think a lot of people noticed, was Duchene not seeming to have enough room to do what he needed to do. Hines made the switch, and it seemed to work out really well from there. So I think in a game where you have a team playing much more physically, you're probably going to see Cousins moved around to give whichever center more room to do what he needs to do on the ice. So that's my take on that.
Absolutely astute observation. I love that topic of conversation. I look forward to continuing to track that as we move forward. There's a cliche out there that says speed is undefeated. Sean and Carolina, well, they bring plenty of speed. Tonight for the Nashville Predators and again tomorrow night, which is going to add difficulty back-to-backs, trying to keep up, trying to skate with this Carolina Hurricanes team. It's going to be very difficult. Sean, just give me a quick preview. Talk to me about that particular topic.
Speedy teams, especially, have always been something in the recent past that have given the Predators a hard time. I'm really curious to see what they can do with their newly acquired size and the new look physical play that they've been introducing into their game, and see if they can wear the Hurricanes down. Something Coach Dan Hynote said when he got hired, I thought this was really interesting, was that he said that if you do the right things all game long, the other team is going to get worn down pretty quickly. And I think that's what I want to see tonight, is I want to see the Hurricanes get worn down and get overwhelmed by size and physicality to where the Predators are able to play the game they want to play and set the tone for how the game is going to work and come away taking advantage of their size to overcompensate for the other team's speed.
Sean, I appreciate this conversation very much, and the Renegades of Puck all appreciate you jumping in the trenches first thing on a Monday morning, getting started. Great recap and analysis, and look forward to doing it with you tomorrow morning right here on Predneck Nation Radio, same time, same period. Sean C. Smith, you can find him on the forecheck. You can also find him on Twitter at SCSOTF, at SCSOTF. Incredibly easy and always up for the interaction. If you're not following this dude, you're committing malpractice if you're looking to follow what's going on with the Nashville Predators, because he is there. He's in the middle of it. He's talking to the players, the coaches, and everyone involved. You should be and need to be following Sean and listening to him on this radio show. I am very lucky to have such an asset with me here on the first line. Sean, appreciate you very much. Have a fantastic Monday, and I look forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Sounds good, Charlie. Can't wait.
Sean C. Smith right there. Outstanding and astute analysis. Mastrodamas broke it down from the goaltender's perspective. I've set you up for just about everything, and there's only one thing left that we got to do. We got Brian Baston coming up, and he's got one big number for you, one big stat. The Renegade Analytics Desk is up next right here. Predneck Nation Radio, you're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Dante Fabro of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Dante Fabro bringing us from break, bringing us back to the trenches here on Nashville Sports Radio. Renegades of Puck, of course, Predneck Nation Radio, your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Thank you so much to Sean, Mosh, Ulti. Only one thing left to do, and that's find out what our one big number is for today. From on the forecheck and running the Renegades Analytics Desk, he is Brian Baston. Brian, tell the people, what's your one big number for this Monday?
You know, it's a new year. We're starting the season in January, which seems a little bit weird, but it's a new look to the Nashville Predators. We've got tons of new guys here in the uniform. We've got a new guy behind the bench starting the season, and I wanted to focus on these new guys. In the first two games, the big number for today is 13. The new guys, new Nashville Predators at 5-on-5 come up with 13 shots, and out of the 52 shots that the team has had in these first two games at 5-on-5, they've made up one quarter of all the shots that have been taken in these first two games. So these new guys have come in, made an immediate impact, and even off the puck without taking shots, you've seen the play of guys like Benning and Borowicki, coming in and giving them the boost that they need. And so, you see this team, they ended last season pretty disappointingly, but these new guys have come in. And plus, we've got a whole, like Sean said, we've got a whole lot of new guys sitting on that taxi squad getting ready. And so I'm really excited to see what some of these guys can do. We've seen, incredible impacts from Luke Cunnan, of all people, with his two goals, and Eric Hallow as well. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And in fact, I will tell you about another new person coming in today. We haven't heard too much about what the lineup's going to be tonight, but we've got another new guy making his debut tonight in Bridgestone Arena, making his Bridgestone Arena debut. And I know him pretty well. It's actually going to be me. So I'll be there tonight and tomorrow covering the Carolina Hurricanes games. And I'm hoping that I can come in and bring in that impact that some of the other new guys have been bringing.
multiple Renegades of Puck on site tonight. Brian, you better watch out. You and Sean, you start gathering in too many numbers, and the Breds are going to send that security to start dealing with the Renegades. They start getting nervous when we start collecting in numbers, so be careful
That's
out
right.
there tomorrow night. I look forward to your one big number tomorrow. I look forward to watching and tracking what you're doing on Twitter today and tonight concerning the numbers. And as always, man, we sure do appreciate you bringing the numbers, the analytics, and bringing the jam to close out the show today, my friend.
Yes, sir. No problem at all.
Brian Bastin right there, man. Everybody bringing the energy. You know how it is on a Monday morning, man. People, they dread it. They go into Sunday night and they're like, oh, God, it's almost Monday. I can't believe it. Well, you know what? I'm up at 2:45 on a Monday morning and I can't wait to get started. Renegades of Puck do it, and they do it with style. Everybody out there in the world has access to the same box score, the same stats page, the same numbers, the same everything. What you don't have is the delivery that only the Renegades of Puck can bring right here each and every game day on Nashville Sports Radio. Nobody's going to do it better, from hype to the numbers to the analysis to all of it. Right here, Predneck Nation Radio is where you need to be. Jump in the trenches with us each and every game day. Follow us on Twitter at Renegades of Puck. I love each and every one of you out there. I can't believe you're jumping up with us and getting in the trenches and talking Nashville Predators hockey. For the Ultimate Predator, Sean C. Smith, Mostradamus, Brian Bastin, and each and every one of you Renegades of Puck, stick taps, love, respect, Op 490 complete. Love you, everybody.